serve as the Managing Director for Justice Programs at CNA in the Safety and Security Division. And I also serve as the Project Director for the Bureau of Justice Assistance's Body-Worn Camera Technical Assistance Program. Today, I'm speaking with Brian Aiken, Chief Information Officer for the Montgomery County Police Department in Maryland. We wanted to speak with him about the department's decision to outfit officers with two cameras for their body-worn camera program. Montgomery County, Maryland is home to over 1 million residents and supports a significant commuting work population traveling in and around the National Capital Region. Brian's division within the Montgomery County Police Department supports the records and technology needs of over 3,000 officers and police employees across multiple agencies. He was a Pennsylvania State Trooper for 27 years, and he retired as a major in 2012 and has 31 years of experience in the police environment. Mr. Aiken, thank you for speaking with me today. To start, you have a very unique camera program in that each officer has two body-worn cameras assigned to them. Can you explain how this decision came to be?
Sure. So when we were deciding our path moving forward into the body camera environment, we did a lot of exploration as to how other departments have deployed and the technologies that were available. We came across two big stumbling blocks. One was the way the Montgomery County Police Department, being in a metro area associated with the D.C. National Capital Region, the way we deploy officers is not necessarily the norm. So we have district stations. We have 6 district stations across the county, and the officers are assigned to those district stations for patrol and criminal investigation functions. However, in Montgomery County, we also issue a police car, a take-home car, to all officers, and many of those officers live in areas not associated with their district station. So as a normal course of business, when the officers deploy for their day or deploy for their shift, sometimes, as happenstance may be, they'll start from their station, they'll start from a roll call conversation with their sergeant or their shift commander. Others, however, depending upon the logistics of where they're coming from, where their assignment is, and what calls are pending in the 911 center queue, they may report directly from their residence and directly into their patrol unit or their patrol zone and start responding to calls. So if I take that function and that design on how we do patrol, if I mix how body cameras are typically deployed out in the world, they're one camera per officer. The officer starts their shift at the station and ends their shift at the station before they go home. That lends itself to, you know, an upload and a recharge cycle that didn't really mess with our way of doing business. The second is, we work in a very labor-oriented environment here in Montgomery County. The labor union is very, very strong. And the idea that, as some agencies have done, where they would take the cameras home with them, or they would recharge them at home, simply was not a possibility. So weaving those two things together, we had to find a solution that allowed me to not overly impact in a negative way the way we do patrol work in the department up to that point, and allow me to effectively capture the evidence, upload it appropriately, and not cross over into the labor conversation that would just slow this down and slow the whole process going forward. Ultimately, we sat with our vendor and had a very frank conversation about all the possibilities on how we could architect this conversation. We talked about recording and an officer while they're out in patrol and uploading and recharging from the car. But that didn't turn out to be practical, and in fact, pretty much every vendor we spoke to did not support that as a viable, consistently viable option technically. So really the only thing left, other than changing the way we do business from patrol function, which probably was just not acceptable from the beginning, was I literally proposed to them, then show me a two-camera model where we would do a swap every other day, basically. And that's ultimately what came to pass. We basically designed an architecture that the stations have their technical docking stations and their electrical upgrades necessary for the docking, recharging, and the uploading of data. The officers have two cameras assigned to them. They are hard-coded to their Active Directory account. And one is always on the person while they're on patrol, and the other is always in the docking station recharging, waiting for its next use. So if they get into the end of their shift, they swap them out, and they're on their way. There's no extra time. There's no extra energy. It's literally just a swap and go on. If they don't get back to their station at the end of their shift and they go home, and the next morning when they come in, again, somewhere during that day, they will be back in time before the battery is going to run out on the camera or storage is going to run out on the camera, and they'll swap it out for the next day. That's basically how the decision came to be. It was more of a, we didn't go in with that understanding or that goal. It really was something that developed over time, just understanding that I wanted to, I mean, clearly change in the policing environment from body cameras is a good thing and needs to happen. But there's positive change, and then there's changes because the technology just simply isn't ready, and we wanted to avoid that negative change.
Yeah, that was a very interesting explanation, Brian. I thank you very much for that, and I'm sure our listeners will find that interesting and helpful. But many of them would kind of balk at the prospect of the cost of buying two cameras per officer if they were in the situation that you're in. So can you just talk a little bit about how you work with the vendor to negotiate a reasonable price for the cameras?
So that took a little bit of insight, and it was something that was also developed over time as I interacted with multiple vendors. What became very clear to me was that the cost of the cameras is, to a large extent, kind of window dressing for these vendors. Now, I'm not a vendor and I'm not on the inside of their environment, but it's what I observe. And what that means to me is that they don't really make a lot of money on the cameras. And in fact, in some cases, some vendors simply don't even care about the cost of the camera. The real dollars for them is in the long-term storage of the recordings. That's where the money's at. And so I have heard this kind of response from other agencies that when we talk about the two-camera model. And my response is very simple. At the end of the day, when we came out of it, out of all of our discussions, which were not that difficult, to be quite honest, I ended up paying less per camera across the board. And if you add my two-camera cost, I'm still coming in less than 50% of what other agencies have paid for one camera. Mm-hmm. And honestly, that's nothing more than just asking and demanding and pushing towards that conversation. Now, I pay for my storage, and the storage is where the big dollars are at. The cameras, when I pushed on the vendors, honestly, they were almost willing to give them to us. Now, they didn't give them to us for free, mm-hmm. but at the end of the day, you know, a certain vendor, their retail price is $399 a camera. My cost for each of those cameras is $100, and I'm getting two of them, so two for $200. Half price from their single price quote that I know other agencies have paid as well.
Yeah.
So I think it just comes into, you know, pushing on them and showing them where the lines are, and at the end of the day, it worked out very well for us.
Good. And I don't imagine that having those two cameras increased your storage costs, right?
No, not at all. Storage is based on the user, and you know, we actually ended up with an unlimited storage package, so it didn't affect it one bit.
Very interesting. So other than the saving of time, has there been any other benefits that you can think of having two cameras per officer?
Well, it also, in my opinion, is going to extend the life cycle of those cameras because they're, in effect, being used half as much as a typical camera would on a single person, single camera configuration. So they do less wear and tear. We went through our pilot. It was probably 6-7 months, and now we're into full deployment for 1,000 users. We've had very little issue with cameras and cycling, any issues being returned to the vendor. And also, if one breaks, you know, things do break. I have a depot of support structures and where they can go and they can exchange them. But at 3 o'clock in the morning, that's not staffed. They have their automatic replacement right there. They just go grab the other camera, and then they're back on the road with little or no impact. At this point, honestly, I'm not seeing any downside to the conversation at all. And it just makes it simpler on the officer when they need to swap it out, or if it's not working correctly, they just go grab their other one.
tell our listeners what vendor you're working with?
Sure. I wasn't sure your guys' opinion on that, but we work with Taser, and we reviewed several other offerings at that time, and we ended up actually doing the sole source contract for Taser, which in Montgomery County, bureaucracy can be a relatively challenging thing, but we were successful in that process.
Yeah, good. Thank you. Are there any other recommendations you would make to body-worn camera sites and how they negotiate with vendors?
So I would say two things. One is, do not for a minute believe that you don't have a lot of leverage in this conversation, because we do. As police agencies, the vendors need us, and while we're all committed to moving forward in the body-worn camera engagement, there are lots of options depending upon the size and configuration of your agency. You have a lot of leverage in that conversation. Don't be timid about it. Don't hold back. Push and make demands. The worst that can happen is say no, and they won't go forward with, you know, a certain thing that you want. But I found quite honestly that the more we pushed, the more receptive they were to coming to a deal. And I think something that people underestimate, look at other contracts, and we've explored a lot of other agencies' contracts and the deals that they've made. I can see that they weren't very aggressive in taking advantage of that leverage that they have.
Yeah.
The last thing is that don't hold back on your demands. So, like, for example, storage for Montgomery County, give or take a year, is in the neighborhood of $900,000 for a year of storage, unlimited for 1,000 users. Our first year storage is actually 460, because our demand was we wanted a 50% cut on our first year storage to allow us to budgetarily work into the conversation here in the county. And that ultimately was accepted. Had we not asked for it, we wouldn't have been given it, but you have to make that demand.
Very interesting. Thank you for that. Thanks a lot, Brian, for taking the time today to talk with us. We are grateful that you could speak with us today and share your knowledge on this important topic. We encourage law enforcement, justice, and public safety leaders whose agencies are interested in learning more about the implementation of body-worn camera programs to visit the Body-Worn Camera Toolkit at www.bja.gov/BWC. This toolkit offers a variety of resources that agencies can use to help with adoption and use for community engagement, policy development, data collection, officer training, and educational purposes. We also encourage listeners to share and promote these resources with your colleagues and staff. Lastly, all of these resources, and especially the Body-Worn Camera Toolkit, have been designed as a national resource. It's your resource. Please submit your ideas for new content through the BWC support link at the bottom of the homepage. This is Chip Coldren of the CNA Body-Worn Camera team signing off. Thank you, Brian, and thank you to our listeners for joining us today.